Blog Talk Radio.
To the Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildbove and Grey Eyes Smith. Tonight's show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. And we also have anthologies available on Amazon.com filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out under the same moniker of Late Night Poets and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is carryovers from contests and some open poetry. So That said, let's go to the studio here and we'll see if we have any callers. And we do. Hello, area code 760. Who's calling, please?
This is Scott Sharp. How are you, Gray?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Scott?
Very good. Just thought I'd call in.
That's
I haven't called in and talked with you for a while.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. So I'm going to post the first poem. And if you wouldn't mind, when you see this, please, Scott, giving that a read for people.
Okay, let me go look and find it. There we go. Unsung Heroes by Beatnik. Our Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines are America's saving grace. Patriots, protectors, and heroes whom we will never be able to repay. Treated like damaged goods by Uncle Sam and given prosthetic limbs by our VA, with little support for them or their families, as if there's nothing else to say. Some seek the solace of booze and drugs and destroy themselves, their lives, their loves. Even Christ himself would surely say, too much to ask of anyone. Our military is the vanguard of America today and in the past. We believe in you soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines, because even when odds seem impossible, you still accept the task. So for the veterans, let's give them what they need for life so as to comfort and care for them and alleviate their strife. Let's show their families care, especially those who love whose loved ones died, to protect America and give us all a chance for a better life. End poem.
Beautiful read. And that was by Beatnik. And you did a wonderful job reading that, Scott. You know, this is definitely a beautiful tribute to the soldiers and, you know, the struggles that they have. It's definitely got a lot of truth to it in its presentation of, you know, let's give them what they need for life so as to comfort and care for them and alleviate their strife. Let's show their families care, especially those whose loved ones died, to protect America and give us all a chance for a better life. Yeah, bravo, Beatnik. Beautifully said. And what did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's an amazing tribute to people who give us all the opportunity to live a better life. I was pulled in right from the beginning, that first stanza, our Army, our Air Force, Navy, and Marines are America's saving grace, patriots, protectors, and heroes whom we will never be able to repay, treated like damaged goods by Uncle Sam and given prosthetic limbs by our VA. I love that rhyme. It pulls us into the thing as well. And just the message itself is just amazing.
Well said.
Great
thank
job.
You, Scott. Mm-hmm. I agree. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up here. This is called Bridge of Fallen by Greg Gall. From far cliffs, one sees a promised land. Our leader calls for those courageous. Making a human bridge shapes our stand. Deep river crossings, most dangerous. Hundreds make this mortal bridge. Heroes lay in line to give their last. My body lies on this bloody bridge, on the backs of braised souls upon to tread. Little did I think when I started, I'd fall down here, soundly dead. Seems it is my mission to be so. I heard with passion, the wise one said, with bodies, ours to pave this way, so that others may move ahead. Yet, who truly knows what the future holds on our way full of fear and dread? Still, most timid troops will stop and turn away as I trod onward instead. The favored cross and make their claim, raking in spoils, hearts will long remain. Young lives spent in the fight for the cause deserve generations pay praise and a pause. There's no greater gift one can do than give up life so others can pass through. Well, that was poignantly written and fantastically presented. You know, it's you picture this far off cliff that one sees the promised land from, and you know, our leader's calls for those courageous, making a human bridge shapes our stand. Deep river crossings, most dangerous, hundreds make this mortal bridge. Heroes lay in line to give their loss. Just a heart-wrenching and powerful poem. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, you described the part that really stood out to me as well, which, you know, is the idea that we all are given this promise of freedom and all this other stuff, and that soldiers, you know, and you could just visualize the picture of what he's saying, a mortal bridge, like men hanging on to each other and building a bridge for us all to walk over onto to reach to freedom. Just an amazing metaphor, and just the whole poem, the rhyme scheme, other things within it, very, very powerful and really well done.
Well said. Thank you, Scott. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind reading this when you see it, Scott, please.
Okay. All right. So How Much is Owed by Richard Loder. How much is owed, always remembered, never growing old, their names forever crowned in lettered gold. Do not pretend to know the price they've paid or clear the debt of sacrifices made. Nation's debt to those returning home by far exceeds good words carved out in stone. Whatever view we take of warfare's cause, there is no doubt what's owed, how much deserved. End poem.
Absolutely beautiful read, Scott. And, you know, this is a wonderful poem, too. You know, it gives a thumbs up to the people that served. And, I mean, you know, we can never satisfy the debt that is owed. And I think that's clearly stated in this poem. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. And it kind of brings in that image of the monuments that are, you know, I've been to Washington, D.C. and seen so many of the different amazing monuments built to our war heroes, whether it be the Vietnam one or the World War One and World War Two ones, just amazing monuments. But those can never, like, make up for or, you know, suffice in a thank you to the soldiers and their families for all that they've done for us. So it's an amazing poem, Richard.
Well said. Thank you, Scott. Okay, so I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And it's just you and I. Okay.
We'll hold down the fort. No.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can't say how much I appreciate you calling in right now. And we've got One White Rose by Old Sarge. On the day he wed, he gave her one white rose. She placed it by their bed, where they laid in passion's throes. When she bore their first child, he gave her one white rose. It was pure and it was wild, just the way that their love grows. Before he said goodbye, he gave her one white rose, and he told her not to cry, for his love is where she goes. Before she parted from his grave, she gave him one white rose. His memory was all she could save from the hundreds of crosses in hundreds of rows. End poem. Wow, another powerful and poignant poem. You know, the rose is a powerful symbolic statement, and you know, each special occasion and sad occasion, they shared a winery rose, and it you know, it definitely brought the effect of that rose home. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. The white rose is definitely a powerful statement within the poem. I also love the image. Don't love the image. Probably the wrong wording. More revere the image of all of the sacrifices of all those rows of white crosses. As again, you know, in Washington, D.C., getting to visit the cemetery there and all those things, just quite a powerful image, and just makes you reflect on the fact of how lucky we really all are here in this country. So, another amazing write. Good job, old Sarge.
Absolutely wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome Pam Ray to the show. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Gray. Hi, Scott. Good to hear you both.
Hi, Pam.
How's it going?
Thank you, and welcome to the show. I appreciate you calling in. Did you get a chance to hear that poem by Old Sarge?
I got a chance to read it. I didn't get a chance to read it all the way through. But I mean, I read it all the way through myself, but I didn't get to hear it all the way through. But I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how the white rose is giving to her throughout the first three stanzas, and then that makes a strong emotional impact, you know, with the idea of her placing the white rose on his grave amongst the hundreds of crosses and hundreds of rows. It really is, as you said, Gray, a very poignant piece, and it's just very, it's sobering imagery that's beautifully written. So very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I've got the next one up, if you wouldn't mind, please. It's by Ruth M. Martz.
All right. Poppies by Ruth M. Martz. And it goes like this. Take time to smell the poppies while you are able. You will never forget the sorrowful aroma or the sadness of its fame. And poem.
That was a wonderful read, Pam. And that's a touching brevity. You know, it's very poignant in its presentation of the poppies. And while you are able to smell them, you'll never forget the sorrowful aroma or the sadness of its fame. Just a wonderful, hard-hitting poem on the subject of poppies and their representation in our lives. So beautifully done, Ruth. And Scott, what did you think?
Yeah, it's really a powerful poem, and the symbolism of the poppies, representative of Memorial Day, and the lives lost in war since, I believe, going back to World War One or something to that degree. So, yeah, it's amazing, right? And so powerful in so few lines. So great job, Ruth.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Scott. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this, how she uses the poppies, which represents that the blood, I think, doesn't it feel like the blood of the fallen soldiers, if I remember right? But I like how she says you take time to smell the roses. She says take time to smell the poppies. It's beautiful all the way through, but I like that she reminds us within this brevity that whatever there is to do in life that brings you joy or brings you comfort or even just reminds you of those who have fallen for your freedom or even reminds you of those who have fallen for your freedoms, you know, just do it because, you know, life is fleeting. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Scott, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Okay. All right. Gentle Ben by Gary Adcock. The old man walked the streets at night, nowhere to go until morning light. To himself, just trying to survive. Most didn't notice he was even alive. Kids called him names without a care. The old man grew used to life not being fair. His ragged clothes, old worn-out shoes, represent a man who had paid his dues. One frigid morning, the old man lost his fight, met his maker, headed toward the shining light. Most didn't know, not that they would care, were too self-absorbed, trying to get nowhere. In an old, forgotten cemetery, he was laid to rest. Headstone read these words for all to attest. Here lies Sergeant Montgomery, hero to his men, leader and protector, nicknamed Gentle Ben. End poem.
Fantastic read, Scott. And I mean, that, you know, that's a heart-wrenching poem. You know, it really pulls at the heartstrings, this tragic ending to this wonderful man's life. Very sad and, you know, powerfully descriptive in its presentation of his life and how he spent each day trying to just get through and not, you know, trying to keep to himself, just trying to survive. Most didn't notice he was even alive. You know, how many people are like this out there on our streets that have served their country and you know, were heroes at one point in life, and now they're alone and forgotten on the street. Just a sad and tragic tale for so many, I'm sure. Excellent, right, Gary? Thank you for that. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is wonderful. It's so unfortunate that there are so many homeless veterans out there who are ignored. And even if not a veteran, there are so many people out there who are, you know, are elderly, and people aren't taking time to get to know them, get to know their stories. And it just really has an impact in the way it reminds us of, you know, you got to take time to talk to your fellow man and to really show that you want to listen. And so wonderful right and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Scott, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love how Pam took that beyond just the idea of soldiers out on the street, although it is quite obvious that there is a large problem with people who fought for our country who are returned to our country and really not taken care of in an adequate manner. As far as touching on the poem and the artistic writing of it and stuff, I believe that Gary did an amazing job of rhyming it. It has a great flow, and none of the rhymes interfere whatsoever with the meaning. So I think he did an amazing job, and I love that power punch at the end that kind of gives the emotion at the end to this poem. So, great job, Gary.
Well said. Thank you, Scott. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Diane D., and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play this.
Tuesday by Diane D. Feeling like a trashy motel sign with the L blinking on and off. Or mashed turnip sliding down the dent of a rusted garbage can. Seated on the plastic lawn chair on the patio of Tri-Town Cafe, my eyes tired scan the road, pausing on a yellow VW Beetle. A crumpled Sunday newspaper rolling down the deserted street bugged my fat ass like shingles. I stepped down off the sidewalk. Glinting up at me from the gravel was a 1913 Buffalo Head nickel, much in uncirculated condition, I put it on the polypropylene table. I finished the salty ham, including the coffee-infused red-eye gravy. Put the $500 coin under my plate and headed off to find Wednesday. End poem.
Well, that was a wonderful write and a read. She did a fantastic job reading it. But, you know, I really liked it. You know, it just kind of goes through her day as she sees it and finds a nickel worth $500 and then just tucks it under her plate and moves on to find Wednesday. A fascinating poem called Tuesday. I thought it was an excellent job. And what did you think, Scott?
I agree with you, Gray. I think this one's it's a really great poem. Yeah, I love it right from the beginning. It just has, kind of interesting tone to it, like feeling like the trashy motel sign with the L blinking on and off. Yeah, so you can just totally picture, a boring Tuesday, basically, and an ugly feel to it, and the mass turnout sliding down the dent of a rusted garbage tin. So you can kind of picture it, people putting trash into one of those tin slides that slides into the trash can. And so, yeah, it's really an interesting poem, and I love the way that it comes to that end where, you know, she's bugged by the newspaper blowing down the street and then finds the buffalo head nickel and leaves it, I guess, as a tip, or something to that degree. It's really cool, and I love how it just nonchalantly says and headed off to Wednesday. It's a really powerful write. Definitely like it quite a bit. Great job, Diane.
Are you on mute, Gray?
I thought I dropped first.
I am. That was a wonderful comment, Scott. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I like this all the way through. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. It has a really raw, gritty feel. You know, I was thinking about that first line, Scott brought up with the feeling like a trashy motel sign with the L blinking on and off. And I could be wrong and, you know, putting too much thought into this, but if you take away the L from the word motel, you have the word moat, which is the definition of is an insignificant and small piece of something. So I think Diane, if she didn't purposely put that there, it was a really cool accident.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It'd be interesting to find out from her if she did that on purpose. I like this imagery of a crumpled Sunday newspaper rolling down the deserted street, bugged my fat ass like shingles. You know, and the fact that the character brings up shingles makes me think that it's an elderly character, like a woman who should be retired, who still has to work. A gritty feel to this. There's a feel of loneliness, a feel of somebody who just almost like feels lost in life. And one extra thing that has nothing to do with the poem, but I have to say, I've never tried red eye gravy, and I've always wanted to. So that is now on my to-do list again. My bucket list.
So never
great right, have you tried?
No, I've never heard coffee infused red eye gravy.
I thought it was
really
made with coffee. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
It says coffee infused red eye gravy. I don't know what that is, but it makes me wonder. I'm gonna have to Google it.
Right.
I don't know. It was a wonderful write, you know, a beautiful poem, and she did a great job reading it. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and this is by Jack Tomkovic. It's called Inkling. A dark, noir, midnight, ebony, ling, as opposed to an albino, ivory, white bread, blank, ling, anyway, and then his author's note says, just fooling around, hope you enjoy. But, you know, it's a fascinating little brevity. It makes you think about what his subject is. I mean, it feels like a piano, but I'm not sure that's what he's after. But great, right, Jack? Excellent poem. And Scott, what did you think?
I'm not sure, but I think you might be referring to wine, like a dark wine in the first stanza and maybe a white wine in the second one. You know, having a... but then, I don't know, with the inkling part, not really sure with that. What do you think, Pam?
I do like your thoughts there about it being about wine with the noir midnight. Yeah, you know, actually that would make sense. Or it could be about the song Ebony and Ivory. Ebony and Ivory. Okay, I can't even sing that song. I won't even try. I should have even attempted to try, but, you know, but I like the juxtaposition. I like that you don't know for sure, you know, and it does feel like it could be about a piano, about wine, you know, perhaps, I'm trying to think what else. Oh, zebras. It could be about a herd of zebras.
Yeah, could be.
Either, whatever it's about, it's always fun to see a poet play with words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it left us wondering, so he did a great job. And I thought it was fabulous. And so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by G. Perry. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, Pam.
I'd be happy to. All right. And where is that? There it is. All right. The Heat of Summertime by T. Perry 898. And it goes like this. Magic Sphinx, enchanted mistress, wrap me gently in thine arms. Bless me, sweet, engage my senses. Touch me with your loving charms. Bleach my hair and singe these freckles. Issue forth your magic chimes. Wet my brow and tease my body in the heat of summertime. Wrap me in the dress of wonder, issue soft your loving gaze. Come excite me and invite me, set my empty heart ablaze. I shall sip thy burning nectar while your fingers rake my skin. Hold me close, my golden lady, and erase my suffering. Clouds shall melt as cool winds whisper while I dance in utter bliss. In the wonder of your banquet, I shall steal a loving kiss. And poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, I liked it. You know, it really is a wonderful love affair that's presented here. And, you know, magic sphinx, enchanted mistress, wrap me gentle in thine arms. Bless me sweet, engage my senses. Touch me with your loving charms. Fantastic rhyme and rhythm in that first stanza. And then I shall sip thy burning nectar while your fingers rake my skin. Hold me close, my golden lady, and erase my suffering. You know, I mean, you know, a loved one has the power to just wipe away all those tragedies and sadness and heartaches that we go through. I thought it was a wonderful presentation. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. It's a wonderful poem of love and heat in the summertime. I like that second stanza quite a bit. Bleach my hair and singe these freckles. Issue forth your magic chimes. Wet my brow and tease my body in the heat of summertime. Powerful words and just a very romantic write. So very good job, T. Perry.
Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I think this is wonderful. You know, great rhyme and flow. I love that this is the personification of the sun. Like, to me, this can be taken two ways. It can be taken as a romantic love poem, but I also think that on another layer, it's actually talking about the sun. I shall sip thy burning nectar while your fingers rake my skin. Hold me close, my golden lady, and erase my suffering. It just feels like somebody laying out in the sun, letting the warmth kind of, you know, take care of their aching body. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
I could totally see what you're saying there, Pam.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, we've got the next poem up, and this is by David Philip Ireland, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that. Here we go. Turned his poem into a song, and it's a beautiful presentation of that. I really like this poem. I mean, it's, you know, it's enchanting and it's endearing, it's intriguing, and it's full of life and full of vive de jour, full of life for the day. But no, it was just a fantastic poem, excellent singing, and well written as well. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, when I stumbled across this, I came across this earlier, and everything. As soon as I started reading it, I felt, wow, this is like a lyrics, and then sure enough, it ended up being. And then I did listen to the song earlier as well, and I really did like it. I think that it's well done. It's got a very lively, uplifting beat to it. Yeah, overall, I just felt like it was a really great job, and something I think people would like, very much so. Good job, David.
Well said, thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree. Endearing Gray was one of the perfect words to describe this, right? I really enjoyed the energy of this. His performance was just awesome. It had a great vibe to it. I like how it's about that kind of love that has you feeling like you're just bumping into clouds. It's a feel-good song, and I like that. So very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, mm-hmm. Pam. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Captain B2, a.k.a. Bobby, to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
How are you?
God, Bobby. I'm splendid. Thank you. Hello. That was quite the piece. That I tuned in at the beginning of that. I thought I had the wrong show.
Yeah.
I said, "What is this?"
Right.
That was a great piece, though. Great, very, very. Like Pam said, lots of energy. Great lyrics. Very catchy, very uplifting, very positive, and very fun.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Thank you for calling in, Bobby. And would you mind reading the next poem, Bobby?
Absolutely not. Okay, and we have Night Vision by Dark Night of the Soul. Night Vision. When evening falls in its song of surrender, light is on break till morning. I make my way to you, fingertips upon braille, lips are liquid oceans swirling. We shine as two diamonds upon coal, soft like the air of September, alabaster illuminates onyx shadowed rooms, desire so deft and so limber, a bonded bliss comes in the penetration of souls, the reft of day's false illusion, when heartbeats are the only sound known, and truth we all we see within night vision. End poem.
Wonderful read, Bobby. And I mean, this poem was well presented in its brevity. I mean, it's, you know, it says so much in so few words. We shine as two diamonds upon coal, soft like the air of September. Alabaster illuminates onyx-shadowed rooms, desire so deft and limber. I mean, you can see all that as you read it, which is a fantastic capability, in my opinion. Just a beautiful write and an excellent job. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I love the play on the idea of night vision and everything. And... you know, I thought that the first stanza draws you right in, and I commented on that when I read this before. But that ending as well is really powerful. A bonded bliss comes in the penetration of souls, bereft of daylight's false illusion. So like you're seeing through the illusion, like night vision, when heartbeats are the only sound known and truth. All we see with night vision. So I just think it's really powerful the way that the idea of night vision was blended into this poem. And I just think that it was a really well done thing. So great job, Doug.
Great comment, Scott. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the delicate sensuality and the use of imagery. I like that it isn't just about the physical connection, but also an emotional connection. A bonded bliss comes in this, a bonded bliss comes in the penetration of soul's breath of daylight's false illusions. You know, seeing somebody for who they are and still loving them, you know, warts and all. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a lovely piece, very delicate, very very romantic, very subtly sensual. Take my way to you, fingertips upon braille, lips a liquid ocean swirling. Beautiful visual imagery in this. We shine as two diamonds upon coal. Then the soft air, like the air of September. Just a beautiful visual imagery. He's got a lot of sensory terminology in here, lots of visuals and tactile. I think it's for brevity, it is a very I think it's a very economical write and very very well done, like, very romantic. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Scott,
you kind of cut out. Are you asking me to read the next one?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, Missing You by Virginia Gilbert. Lunch, salsiza in a cup of minestrone. I suck the spices from the juicy sausage, put my lips to the cup and stir the hot liquid with my tongue, slurp it up. I'm still hungry. I light candles and watch the long, straight tapers burn down, see the votives fill up with melted wax, smell the flame, put it close enough to singe, but still I want more heat. Nothing for it. I must drive out to the construction site where they're erecting a cyclone fence, as if galvanized metal could contain such a force, close enough to the power digger to smell the diesel and feel the rhythmic pounding shake the ground. If you were here, you could take me to that place, that other planet, where I'd bite the sheep and forget to breathe. And boom.
Wonderful read, Scott. And in their author's notes, she says, I wrote this 20 years ago when my now husband and I were conducting a long-distance courtship. So, yeah, fantastic poem on the subject of missing somebody. I really like her descriptive nature in the first couple of stanzas. Lunch, salsiza, and a cup of minestrone. I suck the spices from the juicy sausage, put my lips to the cup, and stir the hot liquid with my tongue, slurp it up. I'm still hungry. And then, you know, I light candles and watch the long, straight tapers burn down, see the votives fill up with melted wax, smell the flame, put it close enough to sin, but still I want more heat. Yeah, just a fabulous poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, this is a wonderful sensual poem. I always found that the act of eating could represent seductiveness in quite a clever way. And I like how this is about going throughout your day and physically desiring that person that you're in a long-distance relationship with and finally being able to reach that moment where you bite the sheets and forget to breathe while they're on the phone with you. You know, it's just a wonderful sensuality through a long distance. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
It was very expressive. Great storytelling. Excellent visual imagery. I must drive out to the construction site where they're erecting a cyclone fence as if galvanized metal could contain such a force. I get close enough to the power digger to smell the diesel and feel the rhythmic pounding. You sense that with just her words. You get the same sensation. But that last stanza is just such a great closer. If you were here, you could take me to that place where I bite the sheets and forget to breathe. What a great closing. That just, it's so expressive, and it's passionate in just those few lines.
Absolutely. Good comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And I'll give this a read. Called Barbie Wore Denim and Leather. Barbie wore denim and leather to the ball. Ken, her date, was attired in a suede suit. Both were outdoorsy for the ball. Her leather skirt was straight and tight, showing off her doll-like figure doing the polka as Ken twirled her with all of his might. Barbie missed a step and landed on the floor. Her leather skirt split apart, much to her horror, as her denim top, popped buttons, and more. Making a mad dash, she tripped Ken, so he fell. His head came off his suede torso, rolling down the hall, not looking well. Guests looked at them all in disgust. This is what happens when dolls show up. Plastic body parts come apart and bust. Ken found his decapitated head, screwed it back on, and looked normal. He could not locate Barbie, feeling dread. A waltz was playing as dancers swayed. There was Barbie, dancing with a G.I. Joe doll, wearing a cami gown, and Ken was dismayed. I liked it. In her author's note, she says, Barbie is always prepared to wear an outfit for whatever she is doing. That was a fantastic poem. You know, you can picture these plastic people dancing and then, you know, her tripping and splitting her skirt and her top popping buttons and Ken, he gets decapitated and he finds his head. But when he finds it, he screws it back on and finds her dancing a waltz with D.I. Joe doll wearing a cami gown. Just a fantastic poem. Very humorous. And what did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I love this poem. I read it earlier, and it actually brought back some memories of my own. I'll share what a terrible father I was. I used to sit out with my daughter when she was probably about 10 years old, a little Tom girl who was an amazing athlete and everything, and not really all that much into Barbie dolls. And so we'd sit out there and I would make up stories, or we would make up stories of what was happening between these dolls, and we'd knock their heads off and their arms would come off and everything. And when I read this, it just made me smile and remember the goofiness of the stories that I would share with my own daughter. So I just laughed on the artistic nature of the poem itself. I love the rhyme scheme. It's just really well constructed all the way through and tells a great story. So great job, Sonia.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Scott. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I think it's really wonderful that you played with your daughter in a different way with Barbie dolls, because, you know, I don't think, you know, little girls or little boys should be put into boxes and, you know, made to play with certain toys in certain ways. And that probably helped her to develop her creativity. I remember when I was younger, I had and I don't know how the heck I got it, but along with all my regular Barbie dolls and Ken dolls, I had a Gene Simmons from Kiss doll. And
I remember that.
And he was always beating up Ken, and taking Barbie out on dates. And at first, and she'd always be like, no, I don't like you. But then she'd fall madly in love with him. And yeah, it was a whole dramatic thing involving Gene Simmons and Barbie. But a wonderful, humorous write. I liked her creativity in this, her imagination, and I like how she takes us through the misadventures of Barbie and Ken and G.I. Joe. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really enjoy this. It's great storytelling. I mean, by the end of the story, you've got yourself invested in what these little plastic figures are up to. And it's really, especially if Ken found his decapitated head, screwed it back on. I love the whimsy. I love the humor in this. It's a very playful piece. And it's, I like the fact that she's told it from the point of view. For girls, little girls who had been playing with dolls, and I play with dolls, and I also play with trucks. So, but you basically you imbue these little figures with personalities, and basically you're kind of making up a story with these little figures as you're going along. And I just could envision this. I mean, because my Barbie, I lived behind a wetland, and in the spring when it would run, when it would rain a lot and flood, I'd put on my galoshes and my Barbie would go yachting. And, you know, and Ken usually wasn't invited along, so he had to stay home and wash the dishes. I put my Ken through hell. My Barbie was emancipated. I really enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me get back there, and here we are. Doo-doo. Sins of the Flesh by Stan Holliday, and here we go. I so love your young skin's feel beneath my old rough fingers. Long after a caress I steal, the memory still lingers. As touch moves on to gentle cleft, I'm filled with anticipation. Of patience, I am now bereft. Please fill my expectation. And each little roundish nub also begs attention, calling out for a light rub and a poem's lyric mention. Just the sight of your soft curves fills me with such delight and never ever fails to serve to enrich my appetite. The taste of you upon my lips is beyond most others' reaches. And now my secret finally slips. I sure love eating peaches. End poem.
Wonderful read, Pam. And that was a delightful poem. I mean, you know, he's got you all seduced and sensualized, and then he ends it with, I sure love eating peaches. Just a beautiful poem. Wonderfully cleverly written poem. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, it's a very passionate write, and I love the rhyme scheme. It's a really well-delivered poem throughout, and it definitely pulls you in and then has that little twist at the end, like you were saying, Gray. I agree with you.
Thank you, Scott. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I also liked the rhyming. It had great cadence to it. It was a fun read for whoever read it, and it just it was subtly sensual, and it has a great it has a great wry ending that's it's very subtly erotic. I like just kind of slid it in at the end. It's very a very subtle allusion.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you. And what did you think, Scott?
I think Scott already commented.
Yeah, Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I do have to say I wasn't 100% sure. I had read this poem before, but it had been so long that I couldn't remember where it was going, which was why I paused a bit. I thought it was a clever twist at the end, a nice, as was mentioned, a subtle eroticism that, you know, all of a sudden you realize that it's a different appetite that's being enriched. So, like, wonderful, wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
No, not at all. I dashed this off Saturday night because it was one of the illustrations for our Fernando Botero contest, and when I was scanning, she just grabbed me, and so I grabbed it and dashed something off, and so here it is. It's one of the illustrations from the contest. Real women have curves. Built for comfort, not for speed, real women have curves. An hourglass figure where the sand settled in just the right places. Believe that real women have curves. A beautiful body without a mind is apocryphal, whereas a beautiful mind and soul in a confident body is eternal. Truly, real women have curves. Not a fading shadow of femininity. She has a robust, vigorous oneness with the strength of the intense passion she feels. Seriously, real women have curves. Lacking shame, she has pride that she is a woman and that she knows who she genuinely is, knowing that real women have curves. Accepting no critiques of her body and knowing that she wears her life, inspiring confidence in other women for who they are. Affirming that real women have curves. The real woman is a spiritual entity whose determination and decisiveness remain unaffected by the censures of the physical world, remembering always that real women have curves. End poem.
Beautiful read. Beautiful read, Bobby. And a fantastic poem. And I mean, you know, I'm 100% with you on real women have curves. I mean, you know, these stick people that they have for models and stuff, you know, it really is funny how, you know, they see the beauty in the stick figure. I really never have, but, you know, I like a woman with a little meat on her bones personally. And,
yeah.
You know, I think
for comfort, not for
one. Yeah, exactly. Right. Fantastic poem, Bobby. And what did you think,
Thank
Scott?
You. Yeah, I agree with you. I love the message within the poem, for sure. I also like the way that she carries us through the changing words that run in front of real women have curves. Believe, truly, really, truly real women have curves. Seriously, real women have curves. Knowing that real women have curves. Affirming that real women have curves. Remembering always that real women have curves. So, and I just think that those lines right there just run you through the whole thought process, and I love the way that it's kind of transformative right to the end of the poem. So really well done, Bobby.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent comment, Scott. And Pam, what did you think?
I really like this. I like that this is about a woman who has confidence, who has a beautiful mind and is confident in her body. I really like the line, not a fading shadow of femininity. and also accepting no critique of her body and knowing that she wears her life, inspiring confidence in other women for who they are. I think that's a very important job for all of us women, you know, is that we need to be constantly lifting each other up, you know, being a spiritual and emotional support for each other. So wonderful, right, Bobby? Very well done.
Very much.
Absolutely. Very astute comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Scott, I've got your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Sure. Good. Read that. This actually is written for Daniel Giacchino's picture of a cow. And I just let my mind wander, and this is what I came up with. So, grazy days. Graze a path to reliance on meats. Populations explode, populate the world. Small farms disappear, mass production farms explode. Millions of chickens jump on the sword for food hourly. Step up, crow, bare your breast, soldier. Take your place in the pecking order. Is it inappropriate I examine your breasts in the supermarket? Could I make you nuggets or wings? Have I told you what nice legs you have? 800,000 cows gave their lives in the last 60 minutes. Step up, get that butt, them tenderloins move in. Become a steak, a burger, be the headliner for the show. Barbecues, fast food delights, shish kebabs. 214 million turkeys die the hard way yearly, not dropped from a helicopter by WKRP in Cincinnati, but by coming to the fork in the road or the one on the table. Let's just say, thanks for giving. 124 million pigs come squealing to market each year. Chop, chop, sometimes a little sweet. Other times a little sour. Yes, this little piggy went to market. The days of the small farm have disappeared. Mass production facilities now rule. What's for dinner tonight? End poem.
Well, fantastic read, Scott. And, you know, this is a hard-hitting poem about the subject of how we live our lives and eat our... You know, we eat animals in these mass production farms producing, you know, these millions of chickens jump on the sword for food hourly. Step up, crow, bear your breast, soldier. Take your place in the pecking order. Is it inappropriate I examine your breasts in the supermarket? Could I make you nuggets or wings? Have I told you what nice legs you have? I mean, you know, you could picture all this as you read it, which is, like I said, that's an amazing ability to have. And, you know, and then I really liked the plug for WKRP. I was a big fan of that as a child. And
did
I
you
remember
see that episode?
I did, yes. I remember it. And, you know, what a wonderful way to bring back a memory, too. Beautifully done, Scott. Pam, what did you think?
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't know, Scott, if your goal is to get us to stop eating meat, but it's not going to happen. So, but
I eat meat, Pam. So.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, no, I did like the way you approached this subject with a great sense of humor. It was a great combination between hard-hitting lines and a sense of humor woven in there. I really liked the lines like, is it inappropriate I examine your breasts in the supermarket? And the chop chop, sometimes a little sweet, other times a little sour. Yes, this little piggy went to market. Really clever lines throughout. And I remember watching last year, right around Thanksgiving time, that particular episode of WKRP in Cincinnati. One of the all-time funniest. So, excellent write here. Very well done.
Thanks, Dan.
Great comment, Dan. Thank you. And, Bobby, what did you think of Scott's poem?
Oh, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I like the wordplay. The double entendres are wonderfully clever. Very imaginative. Some of the visual imagery that you've included in here, and like I said, the wordplay. Take your place in the pecking order. I love that. Step up and crow. And get them tenderloins moving. Clearly you enjoyed this rite. You had a lot of fun with it, and you gave us fun in listening to it and reading it. And yeah, I also remember that episode in WKRP Cincinnati. Wasn't Nesman on the ground saying, "Oh, the humanity!"
That was a great show.
That was a great show. I actually got to meet Tim Reed once and tell him how much I enjoyed the show. But I enjoyed your poem very much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Scott?
It was just in fun, like I say. I oftentimes just let my imagination run with whatever comes to mind, and that's kind of what came to mind when I looked at the cow image, is that the small farm is disappearing, and largely, you know, especially out here in Southern California, I can run down the hill and see numerous large farms that are mass production facilities, really. So anyways, that's kind of what came to mind, but I wanted to take a humorous take on it, so.
Yeah, no, wonderful job. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Namdang Somo, and it's called Living on the Dotted Line. Living on the dotted line, changing who you are inside just to fit in, losing yourself, almost dying, coming back to be rejected by those you tried so hard to fit in with. They do not like your new empowered self. They like your old, your subservient self. They like you the way that you were, the doormat, the one that always says, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. But now that you're being whole and happy with yourself, loving yourself, alas, finally seeing the wonderful connection and the beauty in the whole of life, yet they turn away from you now that your heart and soul need and desire to play. They turn away from you now that you're real and authentic. They don't wish to stay. When did it get so bad? Face-to-face tea turning into technology. When did the world get like this? When did it all become about status and material wrath? Yes, I said wrath. Investing others, no matter of their past kindness, real, caring, nurturing, love, they throw it all away for things. Then, when you're forced to walk away, they blame you for wrongdoings, for inflicting pain, not even realizing that for years they have treated you just the same. I pray that people start looking inside the hearts of others, as well as their own. Each person is connected to all, no matter how big or small. What you do to your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, you're only doing to yourself, to the whole web of life. It's not too late to take another look. It's not too late yet to make it right. End poem. And in her author's note, she says, the picture is an ancestral doll that I made using my mother's pants and some of her own jewelries and crystals. Stones and herbs and everything she kind of looks like. I'm on to you in the face. And, you know, it's a beautiful, powerful sentiment expressing our role in life. And it's just a powerful, powerful presentation of how life is being lived and how it should be lived. So beautiful job, Pam. And Scott, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. Very powerful message in its entirety. Yeah, I think at some point everybody in life feels a little bit of that stuff that's being mentioned throughout the early parts of this poem, that people kind of are, I don't know how to say it really, maybe selfish, and they don't really see you and appreciate you for what you are, and then you mature and become that you that you want to be, and then you start to part ways and stuff. So, and, you know, the capitalization of things here, I kind of wanted to touch on that as well. As, you know, I do agree that oftentimes people are too worried about material things rather than relationships and feeling and supporting others and those kinds of things. So one particular part of the poem that really stood out to me would be, when did the world get like this? When did it all become about status, material, wrath? Yes, I said wrath, and besting others, no matter of their past kindness, real caring, nurturing love. They throw it all away for things. Then when you're forced to walk away, they blame you for wrongdoings, for inflicting pain, not even realizing that for years they have treated you just the same. Really powerful, and I just think a really great message, and well written, and I love the cultural aspect of the picture. So really great job, Amdag Somo.
Absolutely great comment. Thank you, Scott. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, there are times when there's relationships we have, whether it's family or friends, that you have to just walk away because you're growing as a person and they're not growing with you. I really like observations, and this is a powerful rite all the way through, but especially I pray that people start looking inside the hearts of others as well as their own. Each person is connected to all, no matter how big or small. So just absolutely an amazing rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
Pam captured it when she said powerful. It is. It's very candid. It's very raw. I mean, it lays it all out there, and that just to fit in, changing who you are inside just to fit in, losing yourself. And it's remarkably easy to do if you're not careful. And it doesn't have to be with a group of people. It can just be one person, to be rejected by those you tried so hard to fit in with. And it might just be the person you're living with. You tried to change yourself to be what you think they need, and you've lost yourself in the process. So it's a great cautionary tale, not only for humanity but for relationships. They like the way you were a doormat. It has so much wisdom in it that it's difficult to isolate one particular portion of it. And the last part of it, it's a prayer. I pray that people start looking inside the hearts of others as well as their own. And I subscribe to what she's saying wholeheartedly. And it's astonishing when you treat people humanely, when you treat them with respect and kindness, that sometimes they're so damn surprised that they don't know quite how to respond.
Yeah, excellent comment, Bobby.
Can I comment on the title real quick as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love the title as well, and it kind of makes me question what the meaning is of it. I think you could take it multiple ways, but I kind of like the idea of it being like a perforated, kind of like a ticket where you could tear off the stuff and get rid of what you don't want.
Great observation. Great comment.
Yeah, I love that as a title.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Scott. And I'd like to welcome area code 763 to the show. Who's calling, please?
This is Dexter.
Hey, Dexter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dexter.
Hey. Hey, all.
Dex!
Hey.
Okay, Dexter, I put your poem up if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Well, one thing I'd just like to say about the previous one is that I heard a quote once before that there's two kinds of people. One kind that realizes that we're all connected and we're all one, and those that don't. And I just think that last poem speaks for all of that in such a way. So I just thought that was just an amazing write by I keep calling her Pam. Pam 8, she used to be Pam 8, but Namdag Somo. So great write. But
absolutely. Great moment. Thank you, Dex.
And I just feel almost ashamed of transitioning from that one to this one because this is my summer write. And this is just kind of a mess around poem. It's What's In by Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey. Yesterday's tone, last year's bulk. Fully grown, baby, don't sulk, 'cause we're all alone, and I'm your Hulk. Come on, play along, it's all your fault. Oh, God, can hardly breathe. Look down, look at the clock, been two. Come on, please, number rolls, solid three. Chest pounding, kind of dizzy. You laying there next to me, built like at some point I used to be. Physique not easy to achieve. It's what's driving the women crazy. According to the magazine, laugh it up, but best believe this is the dad bod of your wildest dreams. End poem.
I like your author's notes. LOL, why have a six-pack when you can have the whole keg? It's all paid for. Great job, Dexter. You did a wonderful read and a fantastic write of the dad's bod. I think that's pretty awesome, Dexter. I mean, you know, as we get up in
summer
age,
right.
we have dad bods as we grow older, and I think, you know, it's like you said, it's well earned. So appreciate it while you have it. Great write, Dexter. What did you think?
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, I loved it too. You know, I hope it's in because it surely fits me. You know, I laugh with my kids about it. I give my wife a hard time about it where she tells me to eat more at Thanksgiving, eat more at Christmas. And then I'm fighting for months and months to try to get past Christmas of last year. So, yeah, I was smiling as I read it because it's just so true. And I don't, stress over it or anything like that. I actually make light of it. You know, it just is what I am at this point where, you know, I struggle to be able to keep my weight off at times, so, but yeah, I love eating.
thank you.
Great comment, Scott. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was great fun. It cracked me up. I did especially like that ending, but also chest pounding, kind of dizzy. You're laying there next to me, built like at some point I used to be. Physique not easy to achieve. You know, I always say, hey, if we want guys to accept us for how we're built, we should accept them for dad bods and all. So, you know, excellent right here, Dexter.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just want to know the name of the body double he's got posing in the picture. I like the...
That was me in Mexico a few while back. It was a wild time. That's a whole other story. I almost got killed with that cowboy hat in Mexico. But, yeah.
And I could definitely see where you stop shaving. You know, it kind of right at your collar. Yeah, it looks fun. Looks like you're wearing a mohair T-shirt.
Yep. There's been a lot of acceptance over the years, Bobby. That's what this poem's all about.
No, serious. Hey, you hit me. You hit me where I live because I love facial hair. I love fuzzy men. And I'll tell you, fuzzy men with a little bit of extra better than no men at all. And if you want to know how I feel, it's like the first two lines of my the poem that I read earlier this evening, built for comfort, not for speed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I'm quicker than I am fast, as you can see. So we're all right.
Excellent job, Dexter. And thanks for sharing. Okay, Pam, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Hello, Pam? Are you mutated?
I am mutating, yes, and now I am not. So, okay, here we go. Wonder Before Words by Daniel Descino. A mirror in front, a mirror behind, dazed from the endless mirrors I see, confusion, delusion, illusion, intrusion, reflection brings reflection on the many reflections of me. When I step away, I can only see through the eyes that look back into mine, eyes as mirrors of reflection, eyes as doors of perception, eyes as bouncing beams of light. Prismatic rainbows of introspection. Today I noticed the back of my hand looks like my father's when he was older. When did this happen? What's the procedure when the judge, jury, accuser, and accused are all the same? Today when I see a smile or a scowl, love or anger, today perhaps I will wonder before words. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, I mean, that's an insightful, introspective poem, you know, deeply penned, fabulously presented. I like the flow of it and the rhythm. And then I like, today I noticed the back of my hand looks like my father's when he was older. When did this happen? You know, suddenly you're looking at your dad's hand and your own. And just a wonderful write, you know, about life and living it, beautifully presented. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great introspective examination of our travel through life, and our perception of ourselves is ever-changing, and our reflections are as well as we examine ourselves. And as I read this, I could picture, and some of us will remember, I'm sure, at least I hope some of you will remember the same idea. I remember a place called Elitch's, and they used to have a little mirror. I want to say you just walk through it and stuff, and you could see yourself in every direction and from every side because of the ways that the mirrors were placed. And that is what this reminded me of, and it gave me the image of how you could see yourself through all parts of your life. And so it was a really powerful poem to me, as well as I do look at my own hands and see that I am beginning to wrinkle as well and stuff. And so, you know, I sit there and I just think that this has such power in, no offense meant, but in a very simply presented form. And so, yeah, I really loved it. I love these lines, particularly the confusion, delusion, illusion, intrusion. Reflection brings reflection on the many reflections of me. And I think when you really focus in on those four word choices that Daniel made, and everything, it really is like stages of life. And so I just felt like it was a really powerful write, and I had a great appreciation for the poem.
Great comment, Scott. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think Dan did a great job on this piece. I mean, it communicates so much. I like the conversational tone of it. And I agree with the second stanza. Great wordplay, great assonance, playing with the word sounds, but it gets the point across. And the third stanza asks the question I think we all ask ourselves, the third and fourth. It's like I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I, who is this old woman wearing my clothes? I jump out of my night clothes and make a dash for the shower, hoping to avoid the catching sight of the reflection and the subsequent inevitable disappointment. So I really understand what he's saying here, and it's and I think you try and explain this to a younger person, and I heard it when I was younger, and now I believe it. You know, it's you don't think of yourself in that way, because you know in your mind you're still 38 or 45 or whatever the hell. You know, it all of a sudden, you know, the structure is aging around you, and it's not matching how you think or feel.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bobby. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
I thought that was I thought that Scott and Bobby really nailed it, and I thought that it was very interesting to me about how they nailed it, because, and that was perfect for the reflection, is that Scott really, he said it's simple for men, and he really applied it to men, and then Bobby really applied it to women. So it really, this poem speaks volumes about the first two comments, because it's talking about the reflection. It's about how you reflect on this, right? And we can apply it to ourselves. So I thought that this was just a very powerful write, and the comments speak for itself to start it. So very well done.
Great comment, Dex. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, definitely a wonderful write, very thoughtful and introspective. And I like how it does take that whole idea of taking a look at yourself and how you change over the years. The rhyme in the beginning parts especially was particularly catchy, and I thought this was wonderful all the way through. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called Sunday Driving, and it's by EJ Cool, and she has a SoundCloud. So we'll play this.
Sunday Driving by EJ Cool. Sleepwalkers held up by appetite and autonomic drive, teeter-tottering weevils wobbling in rambling, straggling lines, shedding putrid flaps of leather slick with thick sewer slime, patchwork ragdolls and withered whites knitted with scab-crusted knives. Wandering herds combine and move like mindless schools of fish, bulging eyes and gutless sighs fall out like dribbles of hot piss. Above, shrouds of frenzied static and foul feculence drift, obscuring delinquent buzzards drawn to pick at sticks and twigs. Slobbering bodies lurch in jerks, doddering and stumbling. Muted screaming mouths lurk over flattened roadkill puddling. Crushed and ruptured slush mounds purge, purulent stomach rumbling. Shuffling stiffened corpses surge, human ruin, granules crumbling.
Wow. Wonderful read and a fantastic hard-hitting write. I mean, it's just fantastic. So much powerful imagery, and you can feel her emotions as she pens this, as you read through it. So slobbering bodies lurch in jerks, doddering and stumbling, muted screaming mouths lurk over flattened roadkill puddling. crushed and raptured, slush mounds, purge, purulent stomach rumbling, shuffling, stiffening courses, corpses surge, human ruin, granules crumbling. Yeah, just a fantastic poem, hard-hitting, impactful, right? What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I have an appreciation for the, in commenting on this poem, said, I love how this is so imagematic, which, and then I put in parentheses, I am officially making up this word for her, because for me, EJ is extremely great at creating visuals in my mind and stuff, and so, you know, it's very imagematic. I will officially coin that phrase now and just say that she just does a great job. I love that last stanza, slobbering bodies, lurching jerks. You could just totally see, like, these people risen from the grave coming at you. Slobbering bodies, lurching jerks, doddering and stumbling, muted, screaming mouths lurk over flattened roadkill puddling. Crushed and ruptured slush mounds purge, purulent stomach rumbling, shuffling stiffened corpses surge, human ruin granules crumbling. So, and I just love the rhyme as well. And so overall, just a really great write, EJ.
Thank you, Scott. That was a great comment. And Pam, are you back yet? Nope.
I
okay,
am,
Bobby,
but I really haven't yet. I am back, but I didn't really get a chance to read the poem, so I'll leave her a written comment later.
Okay, thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I've always been impressed with EJ's command of language. I encountered EJ when I was one of the first, when I was I was commenting on her when she was in the new member, please comment on new members things. And I read a couple of her pieces and was immediately caught by how nimble she is with language and some very complex terms. She also likes to, she tends to fold a fair amount of technology and science into her writing, which I think gives it a wonderful texture. But I really appreciate the fact that she has reminded me in this poem why I do not watch zombie movies.
Yeah.
They're disgusting.
Great comment.
Yeah, yeah. She does. She does a great job with this.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, this is a poem about, you know, there's this zombie apocalypse kind of, you know, feel to it, and there's a lot of people talking about that, but I think the realistic side about all of that, you know, you can look at COVID, but you can also look at kind of drugs, you can also look at poverty. You could also, you know, there's parts of the inner city where you just see strange things happening and scary people. And so I think that that's why the images and this whole zombie idea has really continued to gain traction in society and in, I guess you could say, pop culture in a way. Because you can look at it a lot of ways. You could say that zombies are just people that are just carrying on with the status quo and just, you know, continuing on with the suffering that we're all going through. And so there's a lot of different ways you can look at this poem, and I thought EJ brought that all to light very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Dexter. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All righty. And we're looking at The Angel of Death is Loneliness in Disguise. I glow,
yes.
Lizzie. And her prompt at the top is, being alone is good, but being lonely is the worst. Swallowed into a darkness no light can penetrate, blinded upon an altar, blinded upon a pillar, no bridge to guide the way. Voices swirl in orchestrated hymns. A requiem is sung as you fall into your sarcophagus, laying cold and numb. Light laughs as you pound at the wall, scraping at the box that is now home. Fingernails bleed as oxygen depletes. Pulses echo as you fade into the deep. World gleams beneath golden rays as a cloud of death drops. Rain, mud puddles like quicksand drag you down into the pit. No eyes see the darkness or the ravishing pain as they swim in golden ponds like wild geese at play. Shadows drown you. On screams you choke, clouded eyes bleed. Upon a pillar you stand, lonely and cold. End poem.
Wonderful read, Bobby. And that's a hard-hitting poem, too, about death and, you know, going through the throes of death. Light laughs as you pound at the walls, scraping at the box that is now home. Fingernails bleed as oxygen depletes. Giggles echo as you fade into the deep. How haunting is that? Just a powerful, powerful poem with the fantastic imagery throughout. So, beautiful job. What did you think, Scott?
Yeah, it's a powerful idea. It kind of has a sad overtone to it. Love the title. Feel like that is totally fitting for the concept within the poem. A couple things that I liked about it, the voices swirl in orchestrated hymns, requiem is sung as you fall into your sarcophagus, laying cold and numb. Also love the stanza, the world gleams beneath golden rays as a cold of death drops acid rain. Mud puddles like quicksand drag you down into the pit. So, yeah, the whole idea of, you know, wanting to be alone and then being lonely are just two different concepts, and I just feel like she really did a powerful job of getting across the meaning within this poem. So really good job.
Great comment, Scott. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how she took us the idea of loneliness and depression, feeling like you're buried alive. That line really stood out to me with the light laughs that you, as you pound at the wall, scraping at the box that is now home. An excellent dark write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Pam. Very, very powerful write. And I looked at the contest she wrote it for, and it was a contest by Stelina, Robin Williams on Life, and some of the quotes. And the quote that she wrote to, it looks like, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people that make you feel all alone. And her interpretation of that is so powerful, so eloquent. The visual imagery, the metaphors, this is a very cerebral write, very layered. It's one of those writes that you need to step away from and then come back to and read it a number of times over to really thoroughly absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a powerful rite, and I think that over the course, I would venture to call this, I think maybe in historical frames down the line, you know, this is the pandemic era kind of rite, you know, and I think that loneliness we felt a lot of. It's also kind of a technology era rite, you know, because people are so much on their phones. Everything has just hit a lot of people, and I've felt the same way. That's why this one really kind of hit home on me. And you know, no eyes see the darkness. When you feel lonely, it's almost like being broke, you know, or it's like you can't tell people that you're lonely, because then you don't want people to hang out with you for pity. That's not what you want around anyway. But and then it's like, how do you explain or how do you express to people that you're lonely and you would wish that they would come over or that you would wish that this would happen? You know, it's all for the wrong reasons. And so it's like it just continues on this dark spiral that she expresses so well in this rite. So I thought that this was a very good piece.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Dexter. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by Poetic Picasso, and a.k.a. Frank, and he has a SoundCloud, so play this.
The trumpet sounds, and I, the matador, enter the arena of lovers, with the salute of ole, ole, ole. So I throw my hat into the eager spectators, dressed in the traditional garb, waistcoat and the sexy skin-tight trousers, embellished in the bullfighter's colors of golden threads, like a beautiful Adonis, to seduce you with all my persuasive charm and features. I am the erotic master of a cape in the art of pure seduction and sensuality. Ooh. Oh, the temptation you cannot refuse. Ole. My dark and exotic eyes captivate you and make you come to me. While my posture excites you even more, they begin to grow like two lustful serpents. Ole. I blindfold you in a fabric of satin. You are bold enough to be tamed by my spell, and awaken your body with the tip of my unrestrained tongue of ecstasy. Caliente. My firm hands have released the sweet scent of your wet and aroused bosom as you open my embroidered white shirt and touch the erogenous zones of my chest and soft navel. Then you caress my silky black hair on top of your gentle fingertips. Fascinante. Tasting the moisture that drops off my naked flesh of sweat for our lips, drawing like two magnets of uncontrollable desire. Afterwards, in a hot kiss, excitante. Burning in the core of our swollen bodies, like two Mediterranean lovers on fire, till you reach the tip of my sword erect, like the pointed horns of a bull, taming you with the deep thrust of that sword. As you grab onto my manly cheeks, and your excited cries rub against my drenching cape, or you moan out loud, ole, ole, ole. Sole matador, sole el matador.
Excellent read, Frank, and fantastic poem. I mean, it was hot and steamy, You know, you can picture this bullfighter standing in the crowd and waiting for the affection of his lady. And I thought it was just a powerful presentation, Frank, all the way around. And so what did you think, Scott?
Yeah, I tell you, Frank is a master of blood poems. And just literally, I love the metaphor of the matador. And then, you know, the cape is his eyes. And this one kind of like, come to me. And I just loved it. It's a great image and stuff. And he has some other great wordings later in the poem, but I'm going to save those for some of the ladies to touch on. Great poem, though, Frank.
Great comment. Thank you, Scott. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know my thoughts. Muy caliente. I thought this was actually a wonderful, seductive light. Great use of imagery and metaphors. I like how he used the bullfighter, El Matador's confidence and grace of movement to become part of the sensuality. I particularly liked, I'll blindfold you in the fabric of satin if you are bold enough to be tamed by my spell and awaken your body at the tip of my unrestrained tongue of ecstasy. And also the I am the erotic master of the cape and the art of pure seduction and sensuality. Wonderful lines there and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bobby, I hope you had your seatbelt on for that one.
Yeah. Excuse me, I light my cigarette.
Yeah.
by rubbing two matadors together. this is... Frank has this, that I'm constantly amazed at his infinite capacity on variations of a theme and his ability to create these bodice rippers that I swear to God, if he got them all together between two covers, the book would spontaneously combust.
Yes, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic piece. You know, I also love the you know, matador metaphor that, you know, ran throughout this piece. And I loved, while my posture excites you even more, you know, I just pictured that matador, well, the way that they stand, and they kind of, I'm sure in a ways, you know, make different power poses and things like that, that maybe give different ideas to the bull, or, you know, a different, you know, to not be attacked, I guess, you know. And so just that whole metaphor in making love or whatever, these poses and different things, I just thought fit very well. So, perfect.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. Okay, Dexter, would you mind reading the next one, please?
Not at all. Okay. We have Sensuality, front page pick. Adult, by Doc Frank. Emotions, unrestrained by expectations, feeling so free, like an eagle on the breeze. I'm independent, no anticipations, only my desires. I'm attracted to you, like steel to magnet. You feel same too. What's love got to do with it? Your caress warms my toes, our passionate kiss stirs my urges. Your fingers, magic to my libido. Tongue probing ear, inhibitions left on rocket. As our sweating naked bodies join, physical, but always emotionally, two souls intertwined, united, completed soft but caring kiss. And boom.
Thank you for that. And I thought it was a wonderful poem. I mean, it was a blissful carnal encounter between two passionate lovers, and I thought it was wonderfully expressed. So just a beautiful job. And what are your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great emotional rite, about the love of someone for another. I love the lines, I'm attracted to you like steel to magnet. You feel the same too. What's love got to do with it? You know, just the idea of passion or carnal desire over love. You know, although obviously throughout this poem, love exists as well. So the idea of having both within the relationship was really powerful. So great job, Frank.
Thank you, Scott. Fabulous comment. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a really nicely done sensual rite. I particularly like, I'm attracted to you like steel to magnet. You feel same too. What's love got to do with it? And then how at the end there becomes that attraction that's more than physical. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Very romantic, very passionate, very subtly sensual. It's a celebration of the way two people are attracted to one another. I enjoyed it very much.
Great comment, thank you, Bobby. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic piece. I know Bobby said subtly sensual, and I think that that's true. But I also think that for Doc Frank, I think this was kind of stepping out on a limb. I think that this was kind of, in a way, taking a chance. I've read a lot of pieces by Doc Frank, and this was absolutely the most sensual piece that I've read by him. And so I thought that this was great, and I want to applaud him on stepping up to the challenge. I think that sometimes writing sensual, for me anyway, is definitely like, and I think that maybe he's in the same boat, that sometimes it's a challenge to express these kind of feelings. And so I thought he did a great job.
Great comment. Thank you, Dexter. Okay, Pam, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows?
Coming up a half hour from now, we have After Midnight with Carryovers from the San Francisco Renaissance and Bukowski. Friday is Break On Through with the artwork of, oh, shoot, who am I doing the artwork of, Dexter? I know you made a comment about him earlier. Oh, gosh. Well, some artwork. I have
Basquiat. You got Basquiat.
Yes, that's it. Yes, some awesome artwork to check out. Rex is running a Father's Day show contest for Sunday, and Dexter has a contest running that he might want to mention.
Happy birthday, Pam. It's coming up on Thursday.
All right. Awesome, awesome. And Bobby, would you like to say a quick note about your next coming show?
Well, sure. We just had one last week, or this past Saturday, Fernando Botero. The next one will be in 2 weeks, and it will be the soul-searching self-portraits of Frida Kahlo. So we've got Frida Kahlo contest out there right now, and a new one. One of my particular interests, abandoned buildings and properties. So this is the photography of Roman Robreck, who is a Dutch photographer, and he's got a collection of abandoned factories and churches and schools, homes, and just absolutely fascinating the way he's captured them in his artwork. So that, and that'll be the 2 weeks after Criticalo.
Great.
Can I make a quick comment?
Sure.
So I just want to say I think Gray does an amazing job of hosting his shows, and that I believe he should like get the credit for what a great job he does of doing that. So just wanted to throw in my 2 cents.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that very much.
Good
Ray.
Job, Gray.
Thank you, people. I appreciate it. Much love, everybody. Have a great night.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.